I noticed y'all were looking, but not a whole lot of you were dancing. Okay, should I make you dance? No, I won't make you do that. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? The kids did a great job. Thank you guys so much. And you know, a Christmas program would not be a Christmas program unless what happened happened. You know, when they miss their lines and they forget. But it was a great line. I have to tell you what they forgot because I remembered it from this morning. They were talking about how babies stink and how he doesn't like babies. And I thought, well, that's the great part. And he forgot that part. Because babies do tend to smell. We just finished our three-part series on how to govern your thoughts. We have it available today. And it's a three-part series. The first one was fear to freedom. Second, guarding the gate of your mind. And then the last was thinking again. And I think this would be a great Christmas stocking stuffer. You could pick it up today. And I think we have some of those for everyone. I don't know if you'll give me the liberty or not, but I'm going to take it. Is that okay? All right, Luke chapter 2, because in this story, this is an incredible understanding about, and maybe a different twist on Christmas, because in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 51, it is the story of Jesus and his parents going to Jerusalem to get their Christmas shopping done. Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with the text, all right? So you allow me to do that? All right. So Mary and Joseph thought the best mall was located in Jerusalem. So, you know, if you're going to buy presents and you're going to buy gifts, you might as well go there and do all your Christmas shopping. Here's what the first verse says. Now his parents went to Jerusalem for Christmas shopping every year at the Feast of the Passover. And the next verse tells us that while they were there, that Jesus, he went to Jerusalem. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast because he was 12 years old. And something occurred while they were there. See, mom went over to JCPenney. Dad went over to Target. And Jesus, they thought, was going to be at the video store. They had rendezvous at 3 o'clock so they could all gather together, pack up their camels and their donkeys, and get back to Jerusalem before dark. However, something occurred in this story. Let's continue to read. Look at verse 43. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Target, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, I don't know if you've ever left any of your children behind when you went somewhere. How many would admit to that? Has anybody left your children? Okay, good. We're not the only negligent parents. I remember my son was 2 years old. We were finished with church. We had been on our way home, and someone called us. They said, Pastor, you left something here. I said, what's that? He goes, your son. I found him in the men's restroom flushing all the toilets. Do you want me to bring him to your house, or are you coming to get him? And it's a true story. But anyway, back to this story. Look at the next verse. It tells us that Joseph and Mary really didn't know. They thought that he had been in the company. They went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinsfolks and their acquaintances. The story goes on to tell us that Jesus really wasn't with them. So they had to turn back again to find out where they had left him. I just want to talk for a few minutes today about the fact that Jesus, even though the people thought they had them with him, he wasn't among them. And sometimes when you think about Christmas, all the festivities, all the celebrations, all the cooking, all the presents, all the wrapping, all the arrangements, all the parties, you would almost think that he's with you. But in reality, just like Joseph and Mary, Jesus wasn't among them. He was missing. But what's sad about this story is they didn't even know it. For 3 days. Can you imagine going on in life thinking that you had something and yet it was missing? You know, I've got a feeling there are a lot of people like that. They go to church every Sunday. They even may read their Bible and do a devotional. But could it possibly be that they're missing the main thing and that Jesus isn't among them? First of all, we have to understand that when they did recognize the fact that he wasn't there, they had to retrace their steps. And they had to go back to the place where they lost him. You see, what brought them to Jerusalem really wasn't Christmas shopping. What brought them to Jerusalem was the celebration of the Passover. Their love for God, that's what brought them to Jerusalem. And Jesus, being 12 now, was going to be his first experience as well in the temple. This was a huge celebration. This was a huge, significant spiritual moment. And the love of God that they had in their hearts drew them into this place. Isn't it interesting that when we miss Christ in our life, we normally leave him in the place of our first love? And that's exactly where Jesus was. They left him in their first love. And today, so many people are so busy with so many things. It's easy to love the season and it's easy to love one another, but sometimes we are amiss when we really don't have that same love for Christ anymore. And he's missing out of our family. He's missing out of our life. And you know what our society is doing? Man, our society is doing everything they can to remove the Christ from Christmas. As a matter of fact, even Christians have bought into it. We find ourselves sending cards that say, "Happy Holidays," instead of "Merry Christmas." We've become adjusted to become politically correct. When a secular society has overtaken a generation who always acknowledged the fact that the reason for the season was Jesus Christ. A baby born many years ago in a manger. Much like what our children just depicted for us for a few minutes. It reminds us of the shepherds. Reminds us of the manger. It reminds us of the fact of the gifts presented to Christ. The Christ child promised by the prophet Isaiah that would come and save their people from their sins. A day's journey. You see, many of us are on a journey and we haven't really understood or realized that we don't have Christ with us. We're finding fulfillment in our shopping. We're finding fulfillment in our materialism. We're finding fulfillment in the money that we can save up or the material goods that we can acquire. We're finding fulfillment in our partying, in our relationships, in anything else but. And that's what happened with Mary and Joseph until they came to the third day, which talks about the end of ourself. Any place you see in the Bible where it talks about the third day, it talks about death. And it also talks about an opportunity for new life. For Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, but on the third day, he rose again. Amen? You see, they went 3 days' journey. Some of us this morning are on a journey. Maybe you're in day one. Maybe you're in day two. And right now, you don't know there's anything missing. Can you imagine everything packed, the caravan moving, making good time, should make it by dark? Not even realizing that the most important cargo, the most important piece in your life is missing. There may be people sitting here this morning that have come to church to watch a play, to hear somebody sing, thinking that this is a beautiful service. But you know, among all of those things and amid all the trappings of the season, do you even know that Jesus is missing out of your life? But when they got to the third day, which speaks of coming an end to themselves, they realized, you know what? These material things aren't enough. The festivities just don't make it work for us. I need something more. Can you imagine a mother's fright when they realized that they had left their son behind in Jerusalem? Having to turn around the entire caravan and go look? The story also gives us a little hint. It says they began to look for him among their friends and their family. That's the first place that we start looking for God. I start looking to see whether or not Christ is in your life as my father, or Christ is in your life as my mother, or Christ is in your life as my sibling, or my auntie, or my uncle. I'm looking for someone who has Christ. Maybe in your family, you know that someone has him, but you haven't come to an end of your life yet as to whether or not you really feel the need to receive him yourself. Or maybe you're looking in a place where he's not yet been found by anyone in your family. When I consider my own salvation at the age of 23, no one on record that I knew of in my family had ever been saved. I was the first one to give my life to Christ. And while they may have been good people, they really loved others and they went to church, they didn't have Christ. They had to turn back. They had to go back and try to retrace their steps and find Jesus where they had left him. Because you see, what happens when we fill a void in our life, we look for lots of things, and many times we look for religion. We look for a church experience. We look for someone to just be nice to us so we can feel the warm and fuzzies of the season. But you see, supposing all is right when all is wrong does not make a Christmas merry. So off they went. They come back to Jerusalem and to try to find Jesus. They had to turn back to the place where they had lost him. Some of us are here at church today, but can I tell you, there's churches all across America that are gathering this morning. There'll be churches all week long in observance of the advent of Christ, but that's no guarantee that he'll be there. For Jesus isn't necessarily at the mall. Jesus isn't necessarily at the church. You can go to a lot of churches and never find Christ. As a matter of fact, he can't be found in a church. Oh, now, don't look at me like that. You say, what do you mean he can't be found in a church? If Christ can't be found in a church, where can he be found? You know the encounter when they finally found Jesus? They got back to Jerusalem and Mary told Joseph and Joseph told Mary, look, you go to Target, I'm going to go to the video store. I think probably he'll be hanging out over in the corner with his buddies and I'll come back here in 20 minutes and we'll see if you found him. Off they went, couldn't find him. You can't find him in good works. You can't find him in attending church. You can't even find him singing in the choir or even preaching. He can't be found there. They were scurrying around, and as they began to eliminate the possibilities, the anxiety rose in their life. And you may be sitting here today, and you've eliminated some possibilities. Well, maybe if I just give more, I can feel him. Maybe if I just can serve more, I can find him. Maybe if I'm just good enough, I will find God. You won't. Neither did they. Finally, they thought, maybe he's in the place where we left him. We left him in the place of our first love. Now notice what Jesus says. When they finally found him, they were dialoguing. Jesus looks at him and says, hey, did you not know I would be in my Father's house? It was as though Jesus knew all along, you could find me there. How would you not know that's where I would be? Notice with me something about the scripture that identifies and defines the Father's house. Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not necessarily in church where you'll meet him or find him. It's not necessarily in some good work where you'll meet him or find him. But obviously, he is to be found in a place of prayer. Now, notice something about the scripture. The Bible says that Jesus Christ rose. He ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, what did he do when he sat down at the right hand of the Father? The scripture goes on to say that he ever lives to make what? Intercession for us. Did you know that Jesus is still in the place of prayer? So it doesn't matter whether you're in a church or you're not in a church. You could be in a bar. You could be in a club. You could be on the highway and still find Jesus as long as you will sincerely find him in prayer. yesterday as I was dishing out the corn and the green beans, Aunt B. We went through the green beans and started dishing out the greens. Guys were coming through the line and they were wishing me a Merry Christmas. They were saying, God bless you. They were saying, thank you. But inside my heart, there was a urging and a real desire to do more than just say, Merry Christmas in return or God bless you. I wanted to take them by the hands and say, let's pray. Because I know in all the religious dialogue, they may not ever find him. They may not ever find him in a sermon, in a song. Because the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the only place you'll find him this Christmas is when you bow your heart in prayer and ask him to forgive you of your sins. So you may have been looking all over the place to find God. You may have wanted an experience with him. And you think that by doing all that you do, he'll become more real to you. I don't want to disappoint you. It's a facade. It's smoke and mirrors. It's nothing but religion. Attend all the Christmas Eve services you desire. Give your clothes to the poor. Donate your money to the Salvation Army. And yet the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. Mary and Joseph had to come to that understanding. And so do you and I. You understand, we can't keep looking for him where he is not. For he is in the place of prayer. They found him. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says this, he who seeks me finds me. To be a seeker of God is a guarantee that you will find him. To simply cry out and say, God, I want to know you personally. I want to find you. Not anything else, just you. You know, think about this story. Mary and Joseph knew where the church was. Mary and Joseph knew about the whole tradition and the religion. That's not where they were looking. They came into the temple. The sacrifices were being made. The people were in prayer. That wasn't satisfying enough for them. They had to find Jesus. And if you've been attending church, which is an amazing thing, you think about this with me just for a moment. You know, doing this for so many years, I'm at a quandary as to how people can attend church year after year, sit under the preaching of a ministry similar to this one, and never know Jesus. Never coming to the place of prayer. Maybe it's because they haven't come to their third day. Maybe you're still struggling thinking you can do it on your own. Maybe in your life's journey, you're only in your second day, but let's speed things up by the grace of God. And today, surrender your life to Jesus Christ in prayer. I'm a seeker of God. I'm a seeker of Jesus Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Where did they find him? In the temple, the house of prayer. In the secret place of prayer, you can find Jesus Christ. You say, you know what? I've got a couple more days left in my journey. I really don't feel like I need him right now. Oh, well, okay. But I'll keep praying for you that you come to an end of yourself. Because see, here's the plan of God. Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, ever liveth to making intercession. He's praying for you right now, and you can find him in a place of prayer. If you'll bow your head, if you'll ask him to forgive you, if you'll simply say, Christ Jesus, my Lord, save me. You see, he's in the place of prayer, waiting for your words to meet his. Oh, but he won't always be there. Can you imagine coming to the house of prayer, thinking that he'll be there because he said, why would you not find me here? Wouldn't you not know I'll be in my Father's house? I'll be in that place of prayer. Listen, the Bible says one day Jesus will get up from that place of prayer. Oh, yes, he will. He's going to be in the clouds to meet those who have been gathered together by the four winds of God. And those they shall be there forever and ever with him. In other words, there'll come a moment when you come to the church and you cry out in prayer, and he won't answer. So while your caravan is packed and loaded down with all of that which fulfills you, thinking you don't have need for him, please listen to this preacher. He stands in the place of prayer, making intercession. Doesn't matter how far down the ladder you've gone, or how distant you've become, how full of air your life has become, how many times you've hurt yourself or hurt others. It does not matter how much sin you've committed. That's the good news. That's the good news. His law is love. His gospel is peace. This is the good news. And I'll often lean over and tell Tina, there's one that got away. The devil thought he was going to crush them. But in turn, God took his big old cowboy boot and crushed his head. So you may be here today bruised on your own heel. You may be bruised in your life and in your heart and disappointed in relationships. But I've got good news for you. You can come to Christ in the place of prayer today. So that's where he's at. He's in the place of prayer. You know, when someone first told me that so many years ago, when I received Christ as my Savior, I thought, I've gone to church my whole life and nobody's ever told me that. I thought I had to be confirmed. I thought I had to memorize these scriptures. I thought I had to become a member of the church. I thought I had to be baptized in a certain formula. I thought I had to do all of these things. You mean I just have to pray? No wonder the devil wants to take Christ out of Christmas to make it hard on people, so as to confuse us as to the way to heaven with all of the ideologies of man and the philosophies of this world. They found him in the temple, and they found him after 3 days dying to self. You can expect to find the resurrected Christ in all of his power, but you can't really have him and you at the same time. Here's the point of choice. Do I choose me or do I choose him? Now, let me give you a hint. Choose him. Why? Because when you choose him, he'll choose you in return. And he'll make your life beautiful. Looking at all of those men yesterday, many of them confused, many of them broken. They're homeless and landless. The Message Bible says, and God says, I love them. I wanted to just take them by the hands and say, did you know that God has a wonderful plan for your life? Has anyone ever told you of the plan that he has for your life? You see, when you choose him over yourself, he gives you life back. Oh, no, 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 not the way you had it. That was a stinky baby life. He gives your life back after a fresh bath with powder on it. That's when I like to hold the babies. And even if you mess up, he has another bath waiting for you. The other day, we were watching our grandkids. April was gone for a few days working, and we took Lindsay and the two boys, and off to school they went. And little Lindsay, she's just into everything. Tina got her washed and cleaned and put up nice little tights on, a skirt. She had a nice little top, hair fixed. I held her, and she wanted Papa, and I'm, oh, you're so darling. It wasn't 30 minutes later, after she had finished her bottle, that she had this odor about her life. I said, Tina, I think she's done something. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done something? Well, you know what I mean. Others may not want to be around you when you have that odor. I sure didn't. I said, Tina, Lindsay needs you. I picked her up, held her at arm's length, and brought her to Mama and said, you need to do something. You know what she did? Right where I was sitting, in the very room, she started to change her diaper. I said, can't you go to another room? You have to do that in here? Let me tell you something. God is not afraid to clean up your mess. Even when others are repulsed by it. Wow, what a good God we serve. I got a feeling he carries around a diaper bag just in case. You know, well-prepared moms always do. And God said, if any man sins, you have an advocate with the Father. I can just picture now the father carrying a big diaper bag. I said, Lord, what's that for? Well, that's for when you mess up. Well, Lord, I'm never gonna mess up. He just smiles. Yeah, you will. You know, Peter said that too. They may deny you, but I'll never deny you. So don't get too haughty. You say, well, yeah, that's the problem with Christianity. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. They walk around with stinky lives. Well, I just want you to know we're all on the same playing ground. But your Father will not leave you in the condition that he finds you. So where? In the temple. That's where he was found. When they came to the end of themselves. And how? He was sitting in the midst of the teachers. That's why the Bible is so important to your life, church. He was sitting in the midst of the Word of God. The Proto-Evangelium, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Immediately after Adam and Eve were dispelled from the garden, the very presence of God because of their sin, because of their dirty diaper in life. Life dispelled them, kicked them out like I did with Lindsay. Tita, come get her. And God the Father immediately said, the serpent will bruise him on a heel, but he, the Redeemer, will crush him on his head. And the Bible tells us that immediately the Father changed their diaper. He brought a covering of animal skin after they had become naked. Now that's the kind of God I serve. A God that won't leave you out in the cold and won't allow you to sit in your mess if you'll just reach out to him. So I took some liberty of this text this morning. Mary and Joseph really didn't go to the mall that day in Jerusalem. But thanks for allowing me to share that anyway. they really weren't at Target or Lowe's or JCPenney or wherever else you may shop. They were in the temple celebrating the Passover. But it's a great reminder that on life's journey, don't go without him. And before you go here, from here, don't go without him. You say, Pastor, I don't know. How do I find him? What do I do? Do I do certain rituals? Do I say certain things? Do I have to give certain amount of money? No, he's in the place of prayer. And if you'd like to meet him, we can go there right now. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to go anywhere. You can do it right where you are. So why don't we go right there now? Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and we ask you, as we come into your presence, that you forgive us of our sin. Lord, I thank you for dying for me while I was yet a sinner. Father, I'm asking you now to come and live in my heart. I invite you in now. I turn from the world. I turn away from my sin. And I promise to serve you all the days of my life. I receive you now as my Savior. And I thank you for saving me. Amen. Look up at me for a second. Can you imagine that, church? It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. After a little baby is cleaned up after a mess, you know, it's as though it never happened. But in the back of our mind, if we'll be honest, we know it's probably going to happen again. But that doesn't stop us from playing with that child or holding that baby. If you prayed that prayer today with sincerity in your heart and you really meant it, don't you worry about another mess up in your life, because God says, if you'll come to me with that same sincerity and ask me, I'll clean you up through the precious lifeblood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So one more time, I'm going to ask if you'd go with me to that place of prayer. One more time, just bow your heads. Close your eyes. You say, hey, Pastor, I don't know that if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. I've tried to be a good person. I've gone to even church, but I've never received Jesus as my personal Savior, but I want to do that today. While no one else is looking around and you're in that place of prayer where Christ is, you can acknowledge your need with a simple gesture of lifting your hand and then putting it back down. If that's you, would you kindly do that right now? You say, yeah, I need Jesus as my Savior, and I receive him today as my Lord. Amen. Thank you. You could put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, yeah, I need Christ as my Savior. I need him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus, save my soul. That's your prayer. No one else looking around. You're in the place of prayer. That's where Jesus is at. You'll say, yeah, that's me. And acknowledge that need. Just lift your hand up high enough for me to see it. Thank you, sir. You can put it down. Thank you. God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. Don't you ever let what others have done when you've messed up and as repulsed as they have been, don't you ever let that transfer in your mind that that's the way God will have relationship with you, because that's not true. He loves you just like Nana loves little Lindsay when she smells to high heaven. Anybody else? This is my last time because I have to conclude the service, but I don't want to leave anybody out. You say, yeah, you know what? I need that prayer. Do you need that prayer? Who needs that prayer? All you have to do is acknowledge it. Thank you, sir. I'm so glad I asked that last time. Well, I have to move on. I don't want to, because I sense in my heart there may be someone else. So Christians are going to pray. Would you do that with me, Christians? Let's pray all around this room. Just pray silently right where you are, that their hearts would be touched and that they would say, yes, I need Jesus. I'm missing him in my life, and I don't want to go on one more day without him. Boy, people are praying for you all over the place. And if you hadn't already raised your hand and you say, you know what, I need that prayer, Pastor, then do it right now. Amen. Thanks. Wow. Thank you. I'm so glad we waited. I am so glad we waited. I am so happy that Christians have been praying. Thank you so much for that response. Amen. Christians, look up at me. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of restoration. This is the day where God redeems. And if you've lost things in life, if your body has been attacked by sickness, if your joy has been stolen, I want you to know something. You can get it back. The Redeemer is present, and the power of God is here to save. And save means to fully, completely restore and make whole again. And in a few moments, we're going to do that around these altars. And I know by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, people are going to be touched, saved, healed, delivered, made new. Joy's coming back. The power of God is going to touch, because that's the will of the Father for your life. Amen? Whew. Wow. But before we do that, we're going to worship God in our giving. Amen? What a joy it is to give. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. You can make your check to CNC. Father, bless this offering now. We come to you with gratitude. We come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you, Lord, with a grateful heart, knowing that while we waddled in our own mess, you reached out and took us in. Now may we worship you in this time of rejoicing and giving, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe we have a special song. Is that right? So they're coming. Are they just going? They're coming this way. Okay. We have a special song during the offertory. I think you're going to love it. They performed yesterday at the homeless dinner, and I think they're going to do the same song again today. All right? God bless you as you give, and then we'll conclude the service in a minute. You see how blessed those guys were yesterday over there at the shelter? Wow, fantastic. Come on, one more time. Give them an appreciation. Thank you. Wow, that was fantastic. Hallelujah. Do you love him so much? He is such a good God. I thank the Lord today for all the investment of time, all the volunteers, the service that you give so freely, for them to rehearse this, the musicians, the children, the practicing, day in and day out, the sacrificial giving to put those gift baskets together for the homeless, the feeding, the food, the cooking, the offerings, the ushers, just everything. We are such a blessed people. When I walk in this room and I look around, I say, God, only you could have done this, because certainly we don't deserve a facility as fine as this. But he took something out of an old warehouse and he made a sanctuary out of it that we can worship God. So thank you for your love. Thank you for your giving. And just Merry Christmas to all of you. And if I don't see you on Christmas Eve, I know many have other plans, but if you're going to be here, we'll wish you a Merry Christmas then as well. But if we don't, Tina and I and the whole entire staff, we just want to extend to you a Merry Christmas and a blessed, prosperous new year. We're going to go into 37 days of prayer and fasting beginning January 2nd. God put in my heart, amen. God put in my heart to give him the first tithe of the new year. That's 37 days. Well, 36 and a half. We might as well just go for the 37. But we're going to do 37 days of prayer and fasting beginning January 2nd. Now, what's going to be interesting about this is we're going to have open prayer here at noon in the sanctuary Monday through Friday from 12 to 1 o'clock in both locations. If you can't pray with us here, pray wherever you are. We're also asking every person, because of the 3 and the 7, beautiful numbers of God, but to pray 7 times a day for 3 minutes. That's 21 minutes of dedicated, consecrated prayer for 37 days, along with our fasting. And let's see what God will do in our midst. So we hope that you'll begin to prepare for that now. Also, I don't know, this is the younger generation telling me we should do this, so I'm going to follow their lead. Have you ever heard of flash mobs? Where they just text a bunch of people and say, show up at a certain place. We're going to text people and say, show up at City Hall downtown at 2 p.m., walk in the interior, and on the note or on the command, we'll all get on our knees together. We'll lift one hand, then lift the other hand, and then pray for 30 seconds or 60 seconds and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over the city of Cleveland, and then we'll get up and disperse. Okay? Now, City Hall won't be the only place. We're coming to a city near you, so you let us know where we can go. We want to go to a mall. We want to take about 300 people at one time. We're looking like we're shoppers. Then all of a sudden, we drop down on our knees, and we lift up our hands to Jesus, and we start crying out in prayer. I think it's going to be a hoot. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So be aware of that, and if we don't have your correct phone number or an email where we can reach you, get it to us. Because this will be spontaneous, we may show up in your city hall. Maybe we'll come to your street. I don't know. But we're going to believe God during those 30 days, 37 days, to be doing those kinds of things as well. So that's going to be exciting, all right? All right, altar ministers, would you do me a favor? The anointing of God is still present. So would you kindly come across the front and go to that song that you ended at with earlier? And just invite the presence of the Lord. Come on, altar ministers, would you join me? Yeah, just come on across the front. People are here today with an open heart to Jesus Christ. Some of you raised your hand. Sir, in the back there, young man up here, over here, lady back there. Listen, don't leave here without prayer. Maybe you're here today with a faulty marriage. Maybe your finances are really up underneath and you need a miracle. Maybe a physical need. I was in a home of a woman this week who just got word that she has a malignant tumor in her breast. She said, Pastor, I know that God's a healer. She said, I know it so much, I'm just going to stand on his word. Would you pray with me? I said, not only that, I'm going to ask the whole church to pray with her. Her name is Wanda. Would you remember, Wanda, in prayer that that malignant tumor will go in Jesus' name? Come on, let's all stand up. I want you to have that opportunity to come right now. Go ahead. Come right now. You need prayer. We want to pray with you in Jesus' name. Come on. Whatever your need is, come on. Sir, would you come? Young man, Del, pray with him. There was a woman back here as well. Would you come? Yeah. Just lift your hand and sing it. Come on. And I, you are my God. And I will ever praise you. Come on, sing it again. One more time. Come on. God. Step, come on, sing it. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. One more time, come on, sing. I will seek you.
I will seek you in the morning.
Here's a place of prayer.
I will learn to walk in your this morning, Lord. Would you reach a hand out to these? Touch Jesus. Heal Jesus. Jesus, have your way. Save, Lord. Save Jesus. Heal. Heal. Come on, church, sing it out. If you could see the tears falling down the face of people giving their life to Jesus Christ, come on, you could keep worshiping for another minute, can't you? This atmosphere is transforming the lives of people, and your presence connected with God is doing it. Jesus is healing. Jesus is saving people. Jesus is delivering them. Just lift your voice and say it now. Come on. God, you are my God. Come on. This week, you'll find him in prayer. He's waiting on you. So you live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you on Christmas Eve. God bless you. And I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to